Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, a cannabis fix. Also, anti-DEI moves forward, and the legislature seems preoccupied by S-E-X.
Boss, mind if I squeeze in next to you?
Yes. No. I mean, why would I mind squeezing next to you? Is it hot in here?
Ooh, the birds and the bees, and Betty and Louise. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Josh, Susan, it's hard to believe that some, 3 years ago, we started down the road to get medical cannabis to people in need in Alabama. And here we are, Josh. Here we are, Susan. And we cannot still even get anything to people. We can't even start growing it, even though that's been approved. I mean, geez, how incompetent is this Medical Cannabis Commission, Josh, that they can't get anything done? And now we're looking at a legislative fix because they're so incompetent over there.
Yeah, it's been a rough ride for the boys at the Cannabis Commission. They've pretty much bungled every aspect of the licensing process. From start to finish. Right? Oh, I mean, actually, they haven't finished. So from start to almost start.
Yeah.
It has been kind of discouraging. I've talked to a couple of lawmakers in the last few days, that were in on the original bill, the legislation that allowed us to have medical marijuana in the state. And, they were really privately, I guess, critical of how this has all been handled and how people have gone about the business of this and how poorly they have done with a project that, those lawmakers put a lot on the line to do this.
Yeah.
Guys like, Senator Tim Melson, took a step out there to kind of pass this and try to help patients and provide people with another avenue for pain relief that was less addictive than opioids and some of the other things that we have currently. And to see it going this way has really been frustrating for them. So that's the reason why you now see a legislative fix on the table.
Well, they're going to have to do something. I mean, it's to the point that it's so ridiculous. It's even unbelievably ridiculous. You have the different categories. You have your distributors, you have your growers, and then you have your integrators, which is everything. Okay.
Right.
So the people that are actually growing it, a lot of them were inspected in February. Now, anybody who has ever put a seed in the ground knows you need a seed in the ground like last month. They went ahead, they inspected them, they approved them. All they needed was a letter so they could put their seeds in the ground. It's the middle of March. They still don't have the legislation. I offered to go, do I need to make them a checklist like we do at NASA? Did this work? Yes. Did this work? Yes. Did this pass? Yes. And sign it at the bottom. And there's your approval.
I mean,
it's that simple. And they can't get it done.
These people have been approved to grow marijuana.
Yes.
They were supposed to already have it going. But the Cannabis Commission is so disorganized that they can't give them a letter to say, okay.
And thus, the Cannabis Commission is causing those growers to violate the law under which they were given the licenses, saying they will be ready to go in 60 days. Because the Cannabis Commission can't get its stuff together, these growers are now going to be in violation of the law.
Josh, as far as the fix, any idea on exactly what that might entail?
There are a couple that have been floated around, and to be fair with the lawmakers, they're not sure at this point what they can get passed. They haven't they haven't really felt out everybody to see. But one of the fixes is essentially expanding the number of integrated licenses that are available,
which would put an end
to the number of lawsuits that are out there over the licensing process that has gone down. So they would do that. However, they would then scale back the number of dispensaries.
Right.
That for each license that would, you know, so you would still have the same number basically of dispensaries out there that would be putting out a product. But, you know, it's we'll see that, you know, they're hoping if they're going to get it done, they're hoping to get it done within a week or so of coming back after spring break.
Well, it's like so many things. We've got new lawmakers that are uneducated and uninterested. Uninterested in details of lawmaking. But we will see if they can get it done. I have to say, and we're going to delve into this quite extensively over the next half hour, but Susan, I have never seen a group of grown individuals more obsessed,
obsessed with is a good word.
Sex. I mean, these people keep offering up bills to control sex and to talk about sex more than any normal person I've ever heard talk about sex. And this Susan DuBose woman, I think she needs some kind of psychotherapy, because every bill she introduced has something, excuse me, to do with sex. Now, we already have an abstinence-only law in Alabama for teaching about sex, that we have to teach abstinence-only is the best way to do it that nobody obeys in the history of the world. But there's a bill that says, you know, it's going to go further. And that's all you can teach. And, you know, the problem is, if you do not teach children about proper sex education, they're going to learn it on the street. And a lot of it, they're going to get wrong.
Exactly. They're going to restrict any distribution of information about condoms. In fact, so badly so that the information in the bill misquotes the effectiveness of condoms and what the percentage of that is. They're going to restrict, you know, talking about any kind of birth control with girls, which means what you're going to do. I don't know where she grew up, but teaching abstinence to teen is like, you know, throwing water on the ground. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You need to teach them, okay, if you're going to have sex, then here's the way that you control it and avoid STDs, you know, with condoms, et cetera, and expand their education that way. Because what you're going to do if you just continue with this is teen pregnancy rates going to right back up.
Well, Josh, and our infant mortality rate is up there with North Korea. It's just awful. We don't take care of pregnant women, poor women when they're pregnant. We don't take care of children once they're born. And yet they want to not teach young girls and boys how to avoid pregnancies and disease.
Well, as the late, great Alvin Holmes once said to me, if it ain't going to work in the legislature, how you think it's going to work with teenagers?
I miss him.
You know, boy. I remember going in there one time and I said to one of the security guards, I said, I think there's a bunch of hanky panky going on here. And she said, it's a lot more than hanky panky, but I can't use the language she used about what was going on up in there. But anyway, we have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. I did not want this to be the voice of Alabama politics after dark, but it's kind of going that way. This past week, a big hubbub was made over the fact that a transgender woman works at the Space and Rocket Center. Mm-hmm. Now, this came about because some dad of the year, who's got a fellow, got a rap sheet as long as your arm, decided to go on Facebook or one of the social media sites. I don't know if his rap sheet's as long as your arm, but it's pretty interesting, let's put it that way. Problems. But he's the dad of the year who goes on and says that he was not going to let his daughter go to space camp because there was a transgender individual working there. Tommy Tuberville, Daniel Strawn, Richard Adderholt, Gary Palmer, that man of virtue, Gary Palmer, and all to come out and deride this transsexual woman and to demand that the Space and Rocket Center do something about it.
Well, the individual's name is Clay Yarborough, and he came out on a, this is all based on a rumor that this trans individual went into, you know, the girls' section of the housing or whatever. So, like I said, it's all based on a rumor. And to see the ignorance of these legislators, what they're concerned about is that this transgender person is going to sexually assault these girls. First of all, a transgender woman is not interested in girls.
Yeah.
Second of all, this is a federal facility.
Right.
The state can pass all the laws it wants to. It can raise all the heck it wants to. It's a federal facility. It goes by federal regulations. The federal government, the NASA came out and said, this person has, been through all sorts of security, both local and federal security checks to make sure that this is an individual we want working with our program. So they vetted her over and over again. And for this bunch of yahoos to come out and do this is just absolutely, it's nothing but firestorming.
Yeah, over the last year, we've had GOP operatives. One of them is charged with sodomy and murder. Mm-hmm. The other one is charged with, having underage sex with an underage girl. Mm-hmm. These are the paragons of virtue who are worried, Josh, about a transgender woman working at Space and Rocket Center.
Well, yeah, I mean, what's troubling, I think, the most about the whole thing is you have a sitting U.S. senator. A sitting U.S. senator. I mean, consider that, I mean, that is calling for the firing of some person for simply existing.
Yeah.
There's no allegation, even among the people who the Clay Yarborough guy that made the post on Facebook. He doesn't claim that anything happened.
No, he doesn't.
That this person did anything improper at all. No one has made a claim that the person has done anything improper other than exist at the Space and Rocket Center. Right. And then. They then leap to their ignorant views of what a transgender person is and what beliefs or what actions a transgender person might take, which I pointed out in the column. You're less likely to be sexually assaulted by a transgender person than you are a youth pastor in Alabama churches.
That's true.
Listen, I'm not knocking. I don't in any way think that we ought to knock all youth pastors out there.
No.
I don't. And I wouldn't ever group them all together and say that about them. The way these people are doing with this poor girl that works at the Space and Rocket Center and who has been vetted and who, by all accounts, is a perfectly good counselor.
Yeah. And what they've done is put a target on her back for anybody who is among this hateful crowd to do something to harm her.
Well, and the thing that...
And how does that work out typically? I think we saw that in Smith Station, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. And these people become in danger. They actually put their life in danger mm-hmm. by outing them and talking about how terrible they are. Mm-hmm. Tommy Tuberville, who is the worst, considered by Republicans, the worst senator in the United States Senate. He's the one that's leading this firestorm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in general, and Patricia Todd, our first out mm-hmm. a gay legislator, she wrote an opinion column mm-hmm. this past week in which she points out that all LGBTQ individuals in the state of Alabama are under attack.
They are.
Under attack due to the ignorance and the hyperbole that is coming out of politicians' mouth. This is a poll-tested
thank you
attack on mm-hmm. people that are different.
Right.
So that they can try to they destroy their lives for votes.
Well, what happened was they did a poll. After the abortion issue was, they didn't have that anymore.
Yeah.
That was done. They did a poll to find out what got people's attention more than anything.
Yeah.
And the LGBTQ community came out of that poll. And that's where they're headed with this. That's why all of this is happening. And it is actually underlining the ignorance about these issues.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Josh, we know poll after poll, legitimate poll show that the vast majority of American people want protection for these folks. Mm-hmm. They do not want them put in harm's way. But there is a special segment of the far right conservative movement that would have these people locked up and put away for life for just being who they are.
Oh, sure. It's an easy target because, most people, they don't know a transgender person. And a transgender person in their world is not normal. And so it's a natural inclination, I think, especially among conservative groups, to be wary or afraid of things that they don't understand. And I think that's what the Republicans in this situation have relied upon is that sort of fear to push this. And I wish we could just get people to calm down for a second and think about all of the actual things that are threatening children.
Right.
The
right.
guns, the disease, the illnesses, the lack of health care access, all of those things that actually are doing harm to our children. Yeah. And we're doing nothing to protect them from those things. In the meantime, we're focusing on something that I've never seen an actual statistic that tells me that transgender people are any more a threat to anybody than an average working person in Alabama.
That's true. And they lie about it and say they're hypersexual, that they're predators, that they're groomers.
Pedophiles.
And every bit of that is not just a lie, as my old Pat used to say, but a damn lie.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to be able to get beyond this until there is a pushback. Because I know a lot of these lawmakers do not believe a word that they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ignorant ones like Tommy Tuberville probably do, but normal people.
He's
don't
from Florida, by
the
way.
Stuff. But anyway, we're gonna have to leave it right there. You've been watching The V, or you're still watching The V, I hope. The Voice of Alabama Politics. We'll be right back.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. be careful, care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, one of the things that strikes me is when we hear from our politicians, our public officials, they always talk about how loving and generous the people of Alabama are. Mm-hmm. They always say that Alabama is a great place to live, work, and raise a family. However, when it comes to people that are unlike those people speaking, they do not express that they believe they have a right to live, work, and have a family in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And it's showing up so many times. And one of the places it's showing up is the move to strip colleges and the state of any aspect of diversity, equality, and inclusion. And diversity, equality, and inclusion is something that the United States has been fighting for since its founding. And finally, we've reached a point where it should be ubiquitous, but they want to take it and move it off the shelf and go back to the good old days of Beaver Cleaver, mm-hmm, and Jim Crow and all the segregation and stuff. Just this time they're doing it against, they're just doing it undercover.
Well, it's a great place to raise a family unless you're different, unless you're Black, unless you're among the LGBTQ+ community, unless you're Hispanic, you know, and these days, unless you're a woman.
Yeah.
So they want to push us back to, like you said, the Beaver Cleaver days, which actually wasn't true.
Right.
That was a television show about, you know, what they felt was the ideal family. That was not what was going on at that time.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. And Josh, you know, the thing is, again, this is not a liberal perspective. This is a human perspective that every person in the United States is supposed to have a life to what am I trying to say here? That they have liberty and they have access to due process. And what the Alabama legislature is doing, I think, is denying liberty, and they're denying due process.
Well, I think, I think that's all true. And you know what you said, it is a great place. It's a great, fair place, I guess, to live if you're straight, white, and Christian.
Yeah.
And especially if you're male.
Yeah.
And, you know, for so many others that fight for equality, and we know it well. We've watched it. We've seen the movies about it that we've been forced by the federal government to provide in most cases.
Yeah.
And listen, I've said to me a lot of times, there is no greater threat to mediocre white people than a level playing field.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And and that's what they fear most about this. It came after the Obama years. It came after there was some reckoning after the George Floyd protest. You know, we had a movement for a period of time that sought to level that playing field and remove some of the restrictions and limitations that were placed upon people of color and a variety of different minority groups in this country. And I think that it's we've seen a big pushback from that.
Yeah.
Because once, if you've had privilege for most of your life, equality feels like you've lost some.
Well, you know? I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, if anybody has enjoyed white privilege, I have.
Mm-hmm.
And
white male privilege. White male privilege.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make me, I'm not guilty about it. It is a fact. But it also makes me more compassionate, mm-hmm, and more empathetic with those who have not. It doesn't make, mm-hmm, me want to push them back. It makes me want to elevate them and say, yes, you too should have exactly the same opportunities and level playing field as I do.
Well, and this,
I have had.
This goes back to the history thing, you know, where they're wanting to take, you know, Black history out of the schools. They're wanting to take LGBTQ history out of the archives. You know, I want to understand more about what the culture is. I want to understand more and be empathetic with what's going on in these folks' lives. I don't want my children to be, you know, ignorant of these things,
well,
which is what they're pushing for with all of this DEI, you know, divisive concepts and all that. That's all they're doing.
Well, if the Alabama Supreme Court had their way, the only thing you'd be good for is an incubator and making food. Hey, yep. I want to switch topics here real quick. I talked about some of the Republican operatives who have been accused of heinous sex crimes. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen a lot of people going to jail in a long time. And that is because Steve Marshall, our attorney general, is
crap.
Absolutely terrified to put away any Republicans in the state because he is a Republican and he does not want to feel like he doesn't want to tarnish himself by actually holding Republicans to law, even though Steve Marshall was a Democrat until he was appointed by Robert Bentley, another Democrat. But what has occurred, Josh, and you know this.
So we're not claiming any of them.
No, why would you? They're phonies. They were Democrats. Sure. Anyway, I don't get
right, I got you. Yeah.
But John Rogers, long-serving a legislator, always a great guy to me, always very knowledgeable, kind, and friendly. He just pled guilty to a scheme, a kickback scheme, and he has now resigned the legislature. And, it's a tragic thing to see how people who have dedicated their lives to doing well and doing good can fall so easily.
Well, it's reprehensible what John Rogers did. He's admitted to doing this.
Yes.
He's admitted to taking money from the least of us. That's what these programs are for.
Yeah.
The legislature, for once out there, created these programs which would divert money, taxpayer money, back into these communities for programs that served a variety of nonprofits, and they were to be dispersed by the legislators that cover those districts. John Rogers got $400,000 over the course of several years, and received roughly half of it back in kickbacks. For somebody who, I'm not gonna tell you that John Rogers is worse for doing this than a Mike Hubbard or some of these other people that have taken from people. But it to me, we do a podcast, and I do a podcast with David Person every week, and he talked about the views of the Black community and how he personally judged it as a far more reprehensible act for a man who has lived in those communities and has known the struggles and has then still taken from people that desperately need that money.
And
$200,000 from youth sports charities.
Yeah.
From youth sports. And I love John Rogers to pieces. I always have. But was that $200,000 really worth it?
Well, it's like, we go back to the how much will you sell your soul for?
Absolutely.
And like Josh said, to do that to the least of these is beyond my comprehension and is reprehensible. We're going to have to leave it right there. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.